wade in the water. Why don't you? Water's really great today. It's Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories, and you're invited to jump in and tell us what you are thinking. That's Ramsey Lewis and Trio with Wade in the Water. And this is from his 1966 album of the same title. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. Let me explain what that is. Some people know exactly what we're doing here. On Friday, we dispense with the regular format of the program, and we open it up to a free-form show where people express their point of view about something. All right, I want to repeat that. You should have a point of view about something, a pretty strong or discernible point of view about something, and you further have a position on it. Whatever it is, we ought to be able to tell that right away what it is you're going to be talking about, and we will follow you through, however briefly and compactly you can do it, your rationale for having that point of view. And we'll see who reacts or how they react, if they react at all. But that's the point of Free Your Mind Friday. The idea is to get people accustomed to being very public with their point of view and following a discipline about how you do that, so you communicate well and you increase your communication skills, you become a very valued member of our community because you can be an ambassador through the expression of your views about things, and you could inspire other people to do the same thing. So that's what we call Free Your Mind Friday. Now, of course, you don't have all the time in the world. You try to be as succinct as possible. There are lots of people who like to get on and share their views as well, make their opinions known, and see who reacts. All right? So that's it. That's all there is to Free Your Mind Friday. Of course, we expect you to be responsible. You don't get on and, you know, do your thing. You keep in mind that people are listening. Many times you have younger people listening, so you want to keep that in mind. But mostly, what we want you to do is to get your point across as convincingly as possible. All right, 888-874-48 is the number. 4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's see who's going to be talking to us today. Let's see. My phone is doing some very strange things, and I don't understand why. It's now all vertical. Nothing is happening horizontally on my phone right now. But I'll get, okay, there we go. We're back to quasi-normal. 888-874-4888. What is your opinion? Who's calling? What do you have to say? Why can't I see anybody?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, Eutrice, can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, but I can't see you.
Okay, this is Henry from Chicago.
Oh, hello, Henry. I couldn't see you at all. I can't see your name. I can't see anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
but
all right.
I definitely hear the voice. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there just like everybody else. How are you doing?
That's like, you just said it. I'm hanging in too. I'm hanging
all right. Want to wish you, Lead Stories and PRN audience, a safe, productive weekend. I wanted to continue the conversation that you had yesterday in regards to the questioning of information that certain people get and basically kind of distributed as, you know, fact, you know, according to the messenger. So, you know, I thought about what you were saying yesterday, and yes, there is a lot of people out here who just grab information, don't really analyze it, don't really scrutinize it, and just basically kind of parrot, you know, what they receive. Now, I know you've been in journalism for many, many decades, and you have all taught us how to, you know, scrutinize and analyze, you know, corporate media information. And I think this actually goes beyond just what corporate media says, because we have other mediums of communication, in particular the internet, social media, YouTube, and various other forms that, you know, we can all, you know, we can all grab easily misinformation if we don't really, really analyze it. And this also goes to not just, you know, visual media and sound media, but also books, newspaper articles, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But everything we get, we have to closely analyze it and scrutinize it. Now, it goes beyond this for me to say that, you know, before we would just always look at information and say, is this true or not? But now we're, you know, most of us are in a phase where we're just saying, is this plausible? Like, we're not even questioning if it's true or not. Is this even plausible? And that kind of scares me a little bit where, you know, where most of us are just, you know, not even questioning if it's true. It's just, is it just even plausible? So when we look at information, you know, we have to analyze it in a sense of, and basically kind of just go, you know, just go beyond just hearing what one person has to say and looking at the information in different ways through different type of people. Now, this does not mean that if I don't agree with it, that it's not true, you know, because obviously there's a lot of things that I disagree with, but, you know, this doesn't mean that it's true or not. So when I look at stuff like what was happening last year, when the pandemic had emerged, and many people, and many people, including on this platform, was talking about how the coronavirus was a fake pandemic or plandemic or whatever you want to call it, and didn't want to believe it. And these were people in the media, you know, who were epidemiologists. These were people who do research on viruses. They went to school on this. You know, they've been in the profession for years, and they didn't even want to listen to them. But then when some, you know, when some YouTuber comes on and talks about, you know, how this is, you know, this was a fake pandemic, you know, they're quick to believe these people, like, immediately without scrutinizing them. So it, like, really scares me when we hear people parrot information and not really, really scrutinize it. And even to the credential people, that you still have to scrutinize their work. You know, I respect, you know, many people, but still I have to ask questions about, you know, why are you giving me this information? And in what purpose are you giving me this information for? Because, like I said, it's not just enough for me to hear you say truth, but I also have to understand, why is this information given to me? Why are you presenting this information in a way where, you know, you want me to believe this? So, yeah, it's getting crazy out here in regards to information. Yeah, because you treat, I also got to say
crazy.
This too. You know,
it's been crazy.
Yeah, and I got to say this too, because, I mean, there are some things that I don't agree with you on, but the thing is, I at least respect your opinions because of the fact that you have thought them out very well, and, you know, you have done research as well, too. But, you know, I can respect that. So, it doesn't necessarily mean I have to agree, but as long as you analyze what you receive, you know, then I can go on a factor that, you know, I respect your research, I respect what you say, and you have thoroughly vetted this information and to present it to us in a way where, you know, we can't, you know, we just not say, you know, given the parroting the opinions of one person.
Well, that's great. And if I could add one thing, it is that people are still free. Even after I lay something out, you're still free to reject it, still free to scrutinize
exactly.
it, you're still free to incorporate it, whatever you want to do with the information. The idea is that I've made my best case, and it's up to you, one way or the other, to make use of the information or throw it out. So thank you for that. I was really a little bit down when I was listening to the program at the time it was occurring, and I'm saying, I'm hearing conspiracy theories all over the place, but I'm not, you know, so I think, what happened? Did somebody make people drink a special kind of Kool-Aid overnight? What is going on? So I was a bit down about that because I always think of the audience here as thinking people. You could have an opinion. I insist that you'd have an opinion, a pretty strong one if you can manage it. But don't just start parroting stuff to me as if you, too, had tested the veracity of an idea and you found it to be fine. You didn't do anything. So we got to pull up our socks, and we've got to remember that the program on the other side has not stopped. It is about getting us confused, separating us, getting us to believe things are not true. It's a plan. It's a standing order, and we've got to remain resilient. That's all. Thanks, Henry, for getting us started today. And on such a
Thank
good
you.
Note. Thank you. Jackie from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Eutrice and the listening family.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm glad that you're better. I'm glad you're better. Your voice is stronger. And the music was great. I don't know if you were doing the jerk while that music was playing, but you remember this?
Yes, I was.
I want to just try to bring up something that's on my mind. You know, I live in the state of New York, and here our state is one of the few states, as far as I know, that has not distributed the emergency rent program. And it's about 190,000 households, landlords and tenants, that are facing, you know, serious financial problems. And the Supreme Court has just there were a group of landlords that challenged this eviction moratorium in the United States Supreme Court. And the court has held partially that the state can't just automatically say everybody's entitled to a hardship housing grant because of the pandemic. What troubles me is that I haven't heard anything from HUD, the federal authorities on housing. I don't know what's going on with other people in other states, but this can create a serious homeless population if things are not, if the money in New York is not released, and it also can have impact across the United States. And I haven't heard anybody talking about this on a national level. Now, the President Biden, through the CDC, they did extend the eviction moratorium, but that's, I believe it's till October. But, you know, something has to be addressed as a housing public policy program. What is going to happen to all the thousands and thousands of people that are impacted by this? So that's my concern for Friday. And then you couple that with the issue of the vaccine and non-vaccine people, which is a further division in the population. So I don't know where we're going with all of this. So I'm hoping that when the new governor comes in, that they will release the money in a more expeditious way, since if the money is not released by a certain date, it has to go back to the federal government. So anyway, it doesn't sound very happy, but I'm hopeful. And that's my concerns today. What's going on with the housing issue and how the pandemic has impacted people's ability to pay rent, mortgage, and the owners, the landlords who have small landlords may have one or two family house. Their mortgages haven't been forestalled. You know, all their bills are still piling up. So that's all I have to say today, but I'm hoping and praying that things will get better. And you be well and have a great Friday.
Thank you very much, Jackie, for your call. It isn't enough to hope and pray, unfortunately. It is imperative that people become very activated about this. Housing is a basic right, and we tend to step back and let the government do its thing. This is the wrong thing to do. The pressure has to be applied, and people have to have a plan of action. All hands on deck. Every single legislator must be accountable as to what is the wait about. The money has been allocated. It's been there. It's practically spent because people know where the money ought to go. But we do not see, it may be happening without us knowing, but we do not see a response from the communities that are affected that is in relationship to the urgency of the problem. They've got to get it together. They can't wait and see what happens. This is the worst thing to do, and it happens over and over again. An issue is raised. The fortunate thing is that the fight didn't have to be as protracted as other fights have been in other years. People didn't have to go to great lengths to prove the validity of their entreaties, but you don't just sit down and wait until, you know, well, we'll see what we can do. No, you've got to get to these folks who are making these decisions about allocation of funds, and you have to make your voice heard. You cannot sit, this is not the time to sit down. This is a time to be extremely energetic, extremely self-focused, extremely driven, and you've got to do it quickly. There isn't very much time. Do not leave it in the hands of the bureaucracy to solve the problem. And it is the worst possible time to back off, because people think, well, you'll settle for whatever they deliver. No, you still have specific concerns. They still have to be talked about. They still have to be negotiated. And you want predictable results. You know what you want. So go and make your point. You press your point in public. And all public officials, because this is something that affects people across the board, should be involved. This is the wrong time to be complacent and to put your trust in a process. You are the process. you make it happen the way it ought to happen, because it would not happen any other way. Thanks for your call very much, Jackie. Jerry from Connecticut, you're on the air. Okay. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
I sincerely hope your health continues to improve, and I plead guilty to one of those who made you feel a little upset the other day. I heard your comments yesterday, and I apologize, and I hope you accept my apology, and I hope you have a good day, and I'll leave it at that. Let someone else get on.
Yes, but what are you apologizing for?
Well, I said I was a Muslim the other day, and I heard you mention that. And I say that for a reason, if you'd like to hear me say why. When you said something about they was a Muslim, and I said I'm a Muslim. And I heard you made a comment about that yesterday. I can explain that if you like. If not, I'll let someone else get on.
Go ahead. Please do.
Okay. I said that because in Islam, you know, like any other faith or religion, we live by certain principles, right? And we say our five prayers a day if we can, if we're in a position to do so. And we make certain commitments to Allah. And those of us who do that, not everyone can do that, but those of us who do, we make commitments. And so to a point, and just to a very small point, we know how another Muslim feels that's really dedicated and sincere in their efforts. And that's why I made that particular comment. And that's all.
Okay. I appreciate that you explained that. Here's the thing. There are many Muslims in my family, by the way.
Right.
They pray five times a day, and they go through the whole thing. We still, no matter what your religion is, what your religious orientation is, you have to keep in mind that you're a part of a whole. When you bring attention to yourself that way and say, I am a Muslim, you do a number of things that are not necessarily friendly. You're saying to some people, maybe interpreting that to mean, pay attention to me because I'm a Muslim. Pay special attention to me. Why? I don't have to pay special attention to you. I'm glad that you're glad that you're a Muslim. But we live in a society of all kinds of people with all kinds of religious beliefs and practices. And we want to be mindful not to offend anyone by bringing special attention to our religious beliefs, because we now elevate our beliefs over everybody else. That is really not a good social thing to do. You lay low. It was not going to destroy your belief in yourself or your belief in your religious practices. But it is going to promote a certain amount of harmony when you lay low. You know you're Muslim. Nobody's trying to make you not be Muslim. And it is important to you, and you will see to it. You will treat that part of yourself as being very important, but nobody has to know that. The other part I wanted to bring to your attention is the implication. I am a Muslim, so pay attention to me. I am special. I have special beliefs. Now, you may not mean anything by that, and I'm sure you don't mean anything by that. But people may interpret it that way. So what? I'm Catholic, so I ain't nobody? you're special, and I'm Presbyterian, so I dare not say I'm Presbyterian. No, we live in a civil society. And in our society, it is best. It promotes people getting along together when we de-emphasize certain things that are not necessary to be emphasized just because we want to have a conversation. You don't know what I am, do you?
Just Utrecht Lee, the journalist.
There you go. Just Utrecht.
Dedicated.
Do you think I'm religious in any way?
I would think so.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. But it is not something that I discuss. I consider it to be my private business.
Right. Okay.
And I don't want to be held responsible for influencing anybody's religious thoughts or practices. I don't want that at all. So I just don't discuss it.
Okay.
Instead, I imply it, or I give it life through the way I conduct myself.
Very good.
Just like
very
you
good.
Do. You give life, or you give an example of what your religious practices are and how they affect you by the way you conduct yourself.
That's true.
And that's enough. You don't have to proselytize. You don't have to advertise. You don't have to convince anybody that I'm special because I am Buddhist. I'm special because I'm Catholic. No. We're just gathering here. And we're gathering for one purpose only, and that is to exchange opinions and ideas. What your religious practices are, what your religious beliefs are not important, not at this time. And they need to be separate because they are so important, actually. You don't want anybody interfering with that. You don't want to incur any kind of wrath or disagreement because you have expressed what to use a personal religious opinion. You've kept that out of the realm of discussion. And then we can fight about a bunch of things.
Okay.
And I don't, your religion, which is, I think, a highly and intensely personal matter, is not up for question. And that's how much you respect it. You safeguard it. You keep it from harm and attack, possible attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was referring to. It is not necessary. We meet to have discussions. I don't require anybody to qualify themselves in any way, whether by religion or by class or by wealth or whatever. That's not important. I'm interested in your ideas. I'm interested in what you're thinking and what you can contribute to the thinking of all of us. Make sense?
Okay, thank you. Yes, it does. And thank you very much for your understanding. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your call.
You're very welcome.
Gwen from New York, you're on the air. At 888-874-4888. I almost got fired right there. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, how are you? I hope you're
feeling
better today.
Thank you.
I mean, I was listening to the show also yesterday, and I was actually kind of... I was a little surprised at how you felt the information was being put out there. And I myself, I'm very careful about putting things like, even speaking about things like that, because I know in our society that anything that can be called a conspiracy means it equals you're a crazy person, so it can't happen. But, you know, conspiracies, as I said, happen all the time. I mean, there was a conspiracy to murder the president of Haiti, and he is now dead, and that is a conspiracy. So they do happen. And what I was theorizing on was not telling people that this is a fact, but that this is an idea that I have heard. Now, I also want to say that I listened to the show after I hung up, and I heard people kept calling in and speaking about Dane Wiginson, who was actually my reference, too. And Dane Wiginson is very interesting. When I first started hearing him, it made me feel very depressed almost listening to him, because it was just awesome the amount of information he has collected. And not only his information, but when he talks his information, he backs it up where from the references. So there, everything he speaks, he references to the scientific report that he has seen or that he has written about. Actually, won't say written about, because he doesn't. He just collects the information and puts it back out there. After your show was over, he came on right after you. And it was, again, a very interesting show where he confronted the Gavin Newsom of California with all of the scientific information that he had from all of the local agencies who had done the science and had no explanation for why there were elements in the air that shouldn't be there. So I don't think, and I also don't think Gary Noll would probably put this guy on if he thought that he was totally not credible at all. That doesn't mean that everything that he says is the truth. I think everything he says he thinks is the truth, and I also think he's careful enough to back it up with documentation. And the other thing he always does is he says, check my references. Don't trust me, check my references. So that statement, it to me is a person showing that, look, you know, you don't have to accept it, and he's telling you to do your homework too. But this is what he found from all of the media sources that he goes to and science sources. So that's why I think that when other people were calling in, that they kept referencing back to that. I also want to say when people, I think people that reference or talk about things, not necessarily in a way of saying they're conspiracies, but saying, look, there's something really weird here and it doesn't add up. And if you want to know why people are at this place, it's not because they drank the Kool-Aid. It's because we've been drinking the Kool-Aid the whole time. We're constantly lied to. And I know you know this. I know that everything you know about the Clintons has never come out clearly on any news show in the United States. You will never see the things that Charles talked about in his many long conversations with you on the major media. We have to go to places like PRN radio to get that. We have to come to shows like yours to hear this. So I wouldn't reference everyone that believes in something that is not something we hear on CNN, ABC, CBS, or NYU and NYC to be crazy people, conspiracy theorists. I think that everyone is reaching for answers. And I know that for myself, that I often, I have a friend who believes that, you know, just everything in life is just, all of it's a conspiracy. But yeah, maybe he's right. But you want to know something? The things that I have heard him say, unfortunately for me, have always turned out to be true at the end. I fight him bitterly, bitterly while he's saying it. I think it's crazy. Everything's a conspiracy. But I say at this point in my life where I am no longer allowed to go to work because I can't work inside. I'm being threatened every day to take something that I have no idea of whether it's safe or not, but I'm being told by every media person that's out there that I have to take this. These things to me don't really add up. I listen to Gary Noll and I listen to his doctors and I reference things also on the internet that are scientific. And everything that I've heard so far about this vaccine make me feel very skeptical and afraid to take such a thing. Now, anybody who is listening to the major media or who follows that storyline will tell me, you know, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. You're endangering other people. And, you know, I just don't feel like that. As a matter of fact, I feel that, you know, I'm the one who's more sane because I'm taking a cautious approach. I don't believe you should just throw something in your arm if you don't know what it is. And we really don't know what it is. So I just wanted to say that it wasn't, I myself also, I love coming on your show. I love your show. You know why I love your show? Because you can had the freedom to say what you want. And I don't think people were trying to be irresponsible the other day, but understand something. I actually think you have people on this show that are really thinking outside of the box, that are reaching up and trying to find answers. So if people are thinking about conspiracy theories, it's because we have had our trust over and over again diminished by a system that's not working for us. And people have a reason to feel distrustful. The Tuskegee experiment really did happen. They didn't admit it in the beginning, but it did happen. Agent Orange did happen. All these injuries that we see from things like Roundup, they've happened. But every time you turn on TV, it's all safe, it's all good. You're crazy if you don't go along with them. Well, I'm sorry, at this point in my life, I think it is time for people to start questioning. And if we want to talk about it on the radio, then I agree that people should have their facts and their ducks lined up behind them. If you want to talk about these things, then maybe you should have some scientific documents in front of you to put your idea out there and also support your idea. I would agree with you on that. But, you know, when we listen to the radio show, every day it changes, and you don't always have all your documents in front of you right away. And so I think that's why people were referencing back to this gentleman, Dane Wigginson. But I do think that Dane Wigginson has a tremendous amount of integrity. There's no reason for him to do what he does. He's not getting paid for doing what he does. He is telling us a lot about the planet that no one else is telling us, just as Gary Null is. So I think the people that are listening. We're not zombies, in other words. We're not turning on CNN or CNBC or Fox, and we're not just staring at the tube all day saying, I accept the propaganda that's out there. People here, no, they don't accept it. They don't buy into it, and they want to know all the information, and they're reaching for more information. That's just my opinion, but I just wanted to put that out there because I listened thoughtfully and carefully to what you had to say yesterday, and I want you to know, too. I never wanted to make you feel uncomfortable. You have a wonderful show, and you provide us a fantastic platform.
No, I did not feel uncomfortable. I felt scared, actually. I said so.
Don't feel scared.
Because, no, well, I'll tell you why. Everything that I heard that made me feel scared went unchecked, received unchecked, disseminated unchecked. And I was hoping that one of the checks and balances that we typically should exercise is the care to ask the question, am I being used? Is this right? Forget the fact that it comes from a credible source. It sounds thought-provoking and everything, but I was getting at the point that we have become lazy, and we have become unwittingly the tool of systems that really are meant to confuse and destroy us, because we will not do the work. We just take it in. We breathe it in wholesale. We do not check. We do not question. And in that way, we end up doing exactly what they want us to do, which is we become, you know, exactly. We pollinate here, we pollinate there, and soon everybody's thinking the same thing. The talk travels around. That scares me. Because we're supposed to be thinking people. We're supposed to be people on guard. Because it's in unguarded moments that we are most vulnerable. We are used. And our job is to be very careful about that very process. Are we being recruited? The answer is yes. Plain and simple. You may think, well, this person has an impeccable record, or that person has a long history of bringing information to the public that has been relevant but ignored. You can have all kinds of reasons for it. But your guard is let down, and you don't motivate yourself just for the purpose of self-preservation, to protect the space that you're in now, which for many people comes at great expense and great peril. They went through a lot to be where they are. and to just let the guard down and go with the status quo, or what they being sold as the status quo, and forego the duty they have to themselves to reserve judgment, to check things out, to do more reading and more inquiry. That makes you, you've co-signed on the process by letting your guard down, by not protecting yourself and consequently others. You've opened them up to influence. Now, we're not likely to think of things that way, that we're smart. We reason that we are very smart. We can pretty much sense when things are wrong, but I wouldn't depend on that if I were you. We still have a duty to learn. We still are in the process of learning so that we can ourselves be agents of change. We can share with people what we've discovered, what we have learned. And it can be part of our general discourse, provoking, if that's the right word, that people should be looking at these things, because there's something in all of that that is meant to keep us alert. But we are not. We are also caving in with all of the stuff that you've just said, and I don't disagree. We are still trusting. We're still giving up ground that was hard won, and we're still yielding to temptations and to information that is corrupting us, and we're not doing the work of double checking ourselves. That's my problem that I'm having with it. And so by default, we let that element win. We give them an advantage they ought not have in our community and with us ourselves.
I just want to finish with saying this, is that I would agree with you 100% in this, that with this vaccine and this virus, I see the scenario you just laid out completely fulfilled. Everyone that I know in my family is taking this vaccine. Everyone accepts what they hear because it happened out of a TV set. No one has read anything. No one does read anything. When I send it to them, they do not read it. When I send tapes from doctors, audio tapes, they do not listen to it. And unfortunately, that is our society. We are in the biggest propaganda campaign, I think, worldwide that anyone has ever seen. So for everything you just say, I would say the example of that right now is that we are all willing to stick something in our arms that we don't actually know what it is. It's not FDA approved, for something we don't even know where it came from, that is probably not an organic disease, and no one is willing to check the facts. They're actually willing to sacrifice their bodies in order to be right. And I know this because in my own family, my niece just had the double shot, and now she has the COVID virus. And her little 15-month-old baby is sitting in Children's Hospital today with the COVID virus. So if this is such a fantastic thing and this gives you all kinds of protection, then how come things like this are happening? And how come we're not recording them? And how come no one asks any questions? The only thing I heard from my niece and my sister was, well, it could have been a lot worse. Well, maybe you would have never even got it if you didn't do what you did. So I would have to agree with you. But I also think that people like Dane Wiginson are doing a service. They are looking up, they are referencing, and they're not throwing their information out there in an irresponsible way. We, I agree with you, have an obligation to double check and to put those facts and those documents, whatever we have, we should probably be backing our statements up with that when we want to make those statements. So I would agree with you on that. But the biggest disinformation thing I think that's going on right now is this virus. Or lack of information.
I think you're right. I don't disagree with you, at all. But I was nonetheless very scared in the totality of things that we seem to be headed down this road. We're pedaling like crazy and picking up speed, but we have no point of reference as to why are we headed in that direction. What is it that you know at this point or don't know at this point? And that ought to concern us as well,
right?
Because information is power.
I think our own government has set the tone. They have set the tone.
And I was stunned at the openness we have to information, just because it pretends that it is about, the vaccine. It's really not. When you look at it, it is about getting a grip on your mind. Because if you head towards certain kinds of information, then no, literally, your mind is up for grabs, and you're not doing your work. And so it was a reminder that we have work to do. We have to protect ourselves. We have to be more discerning in what we bring into our closest environments. What is it that we're bringing in? And what is it that we are believing because of that? I'm not suggesting that we become paranoid about it. Well, almost paranoid is good enough for me. Thanks, Gwen. I appreciate your call. I understand your rationale, and I appreciate that too. Thank you so much for calling in today. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air at 888-874-4888.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. I've been listening to this discussion, and what comes to my mind, first of all, is the mission of the United States of America. And the mission of the United States of America, and this is a mission that has been put forth, as I see it, by the small ruling class that I believe, my opinion, that runs the country. Number one part of the mission is to enrich that small ruling class as much as possible. And as part of that mission, one has to control the masses of people who live in the country. And the only way you can do that and run imperialism all over the world as well as control the country is to keep people, let's say, educated but ignorant. I'll take that educated part off and I say trained but ignorant. So you can get the people to function and behave the way you want them to behave and complete your mission of enriching yourself and to the expense of all the people in the country. Have them fight as pawns in your wars and die and kill and come back and commit suicide and do things that do not benefit the masses of people. So I think that is important for people to understand the situation they're in. Now, we've been talking about people researching things and looking up this and that and so forth. Brother Henry brought up some of those things, and that's important. A lot of information's out there, but don't forget that small ruling class controls the newspapers and all the other ways of communication and information, television, radio, and magazines and so forth. And people are not going to look up, very scientific studies on things like the virus and whatnot. So they're able to get over on the masses of people. So it's brilliant. The ruling class, a small group of less than 1%, controls over hundreds of millions of people. And that's what we have to understand. And if you don't understand the situation you're in, and that is what's going on in the country, the techniques that are used to control the people, another technique would be to divide and conquer, works very well on people, and put that together with keeping people ignorant from K to 12th grade, telling them lies and so forth. I mean, the rulers are very good at this, and we got to recognize their strength in doing this. And it's very few people, and I know many, many people who have all kinds of credentials who know nothing and have bought the Kool-Aid that the ruling class has served to them from K on up to graduate school.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your point of view with us today. Thanks a lot. That brings us to the end of our program. I'm so grateful that you feel so comfortable in sharing your point of view and becoming more confident in bracing yourself for being challenged, because that's what you're going to need. You're going to need that all the time. But more than anything, you'll need yourself. And it's about encouraging us all as best we can to prepare ourselves for the counter-argument, because we'll have to make it at some point. And sometimes we have to make it as often as possible, because, we get attacked, we get challenged all the time on what it is we're thinking and believing, to the point where we start doubting ourselves. But make it a habit to be industrious about this. Read to get from your own perspective, get your own perspective on things, and not allow anyone to just fill in the blanks, because we have so many blanks. Sometimes if you really took inventory, you'd find that a lot of your blanks and a lot of my blanks have been filled in by others, and we're operating on that. It's very important that we keep tabs on that. So I want to thank you so much for sharing your point of view today, as freely as you have and as confidently as you have. And I want to encourage you over the weekend to gather up with those that you haven't been in touch with for a while, and reestablish contact, and share what your feelings are, and create community wherever you go. It's a form of good protection. Thanks so much, and we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.